Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapperston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapperston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapperston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapperston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, and a big thank you to those men and women, veterans out there, and those in active service. We thank you for your service, and it's Veterans Day today, 11-11.
11-11.
And yesterday at 11 minutes after 11 a.m., they had a moment of silence and rang taps or rang the bells, played taps yesterday at the New York Stock Exchange. Very nice.
Very good. Yep. So we know what today is.
Yep.
It is Veterans Day. Back when I was younger, it was called Armistice Day, and it used to be a day off for everybody.
Yeah, people ask me, what are you going to work for?
I know. Well, yeah, no longer, days, right? Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is November 11th, 2017, about 10:05 in the morning. We always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then the show will be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11, live streaming. If you go to our website, sapperston.com, that's SAPERSTON.com, you can connect to the show on most devices that connect to the internet. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. So if you miss a show or you want to replay a show, you can pick up the archive show there. And then finally, last but not least, there's a free economic report every week by
Stone and McCarthy.
Stone and McCarthy.
Right.
Easily. I was still out of breath because I come running up here. I was running late today, so trying to catch my breath. But there is a good free economic report, very concise, to the point, understandable. You know, we encourage you to read it. You don't have to agree. We don't have to agree with what they say, but but they give you a lot of interesting information and some opinion. So.
Right.
So we do encourage you, you know, go to our website. Also at the website, you can see all the services we offer. You know, we are a full-service brokerage firm. We also do manage money. We manage money that's at our firm. We manage money that's held outside our firm in 401ks at your company or 403bs.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of those services that are there. We do have insurance services and so forth. So we encourage you, you know, for all the things I mentioned about the website, go to the website, sapperston.com,
right.
And all of our contact information is there.
And I think at this time, too, with a lot of changes going on with 401ks and 457s and 403bs with the Department of Labor changes, people have probably seen differences in their reports and could have some questions. Give us a call. No obligation. More than happy to talk to you about them.
I still would like to know why the Department of Labor is involved in all of this stuff. I've never understood that.
I
Never in a million years. But anyway, it must have been some trick they put through the government.
Some bureaucrat.
No, I mean, yeah, they put through the government. You know, it should be more the SEC or somebody, you know, involved in these things. But whatever. We won't get into all of that. It just kind of irks me every day. But at any rate, you know, give us a call. Phone lines are wide open, very easy to get in right now. I'm sure you're not out mowing your lawn, although you may be picking up leaves again after I got all my leaves off the lawn. Right? Unfortunately, if I ever were to buy a house again, watch which way the wind blows.
There you go.
Because it all blows toward my house. Right now, the phone numbers to call are 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. If you have a problem getting in, you can try 803-0321, 803-0323, or 803-0324. Right now, we're going to go to Pete in East Aurora. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Peter. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Pete. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. I have a position in Gabelli Equity Trust, GAB.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious if you know why it would have taken a 10% hit right at the end of October, just over the period of a day or two.
I don't know. Is that the one that's in media stocks?
Financials.
Or
is it financials?
It's in financials.
Is that the one that's in financials?
Yeah.
Because I know there's another one. Was it GGT? I guess is in
there's
the
is in the
media. Offhand, no. I really don't know why it took a 10% hit in two days. Although I do know that banking stocks in general were down 4% last week.
Right, and they announced a rights offering for shares of common stock at the end of October. And
maybe
they're expecting.
Is that a dilution thing? I guess I don't really know what that is.
Yeah.
It does dilute it, you know, because they're offering rights to buy more stock, so they're actually expanding the stock base. You know, I don't know how big a rights offering, so you'd have to look into that. So he's right; it could have been the rights offering. You say this all happened. When did this happen?
Right near the end of October.
Well, sounds more than likely that's what it was then, yeah, because if that's what the news was at the time.
Yeah, the stock back in February was like five bucks a share and ran up to 660 or so and then pulled back, closed at 601,
yeah,
654.
This one, the only thing that bothers me about this one, when I go all the way back to 2008, it went from about 950, 960 down to 260, which is kind of scary.
And when was that? Back in when?
2008.
Yeah, well, that was the financial crisis.
I'm sure, with as Peter said, the banking stocks were down about 4% last week. That probably was a precursor to what was going on. I don't know what exactly is in that fund, you know, what the breakdown is, but yeah.
If you were to pick a stop loss for this one, I hate to put a stop loss in on any of these type of things. I mean, you're in it for the dividend, you're in it for the long term, but this one is more volatile than most all the other ones I have. Where would you put a stop if you were to put one?
Yeah, let me take a quick look. I'm just running another program right here, because if you look at the point and figure chart, you know, you're way back on a stop there, and I don't think you want it. You know, that stop in the point and figure chart to be 4.25, you know, using a half point box chart, you know.
I don't think I'd like to see it go there. What about around 580? Do you see that if it broke that?
Let me take a look at a regular, you know, box chart, you know. So, a regular bar chart. Hang on a second here. Okay. Do that. GAB.
Yeah, Mario Gabelli was on CNBC. I don't know if it was Friday or Thursday either.
I caught a little bit of it.
Yeah.
He's a great investor.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I would have said 586. 580 is just as good.
Okay.
You're under 586, so if I was under 586, use 580. Yep.
And what's the next line in the sand?
Next line in the sand is 565.
Well, that wouldn't be the end of the world. I think I'm in it for less than that. But you hate to see it go, too, you know.
Well, that's for sure. Yeah, no question about that. But, you know, it's, you know, it really rolled over with that hit it took, you know, no question about that.
Yeah, the short-term chart doesn't look good.
Yeah,
sure.
I mean, it's trying now to base, but like you say, you wouldn't want to see it a lot lower, that's for sure.
Yeah, okay. All right, I appreciate it.
Thank you very much for the call.
Have a great day.
Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And if you have trouble getting in, try 803-0321, 803-0323, 803-0324. Give us a call. Lines are wide open right now. Go next to Jack in Lockport. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning, Jack. I got your message, too. I'll catch up with you next week.
That's fine. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Listen, just for point of information, I happen to own some Gabelli, GAB. It's named after the founder, and he still participates, runs a fund. It's like a fund where they buy different stocks, almost like a mutual fund, but
right.
It's a stock.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done this before where they've issued rights and issued more shares, and it has gone down. But it pays pretty good, though. It pays about 10% every year.
Mm-hmm.
So they pay about whatever the value of the stock, it seems like they pay about 10%. He says around $6 now, and their dividend's usually about 15, 16 cents a quarter.
Right, and he's reiterated that dividend is safe. That's what I was reading. I mean, he's reiterated the dividend, so.
Yeah, and like I said, they're invested in other stocks. Periodically, they send out an issue to the a report to the investor showing just what they're invested in, and so it's a pretty safe stock.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay, but you know, if I look at the long-term chart since when is it 1990, stock's going straight down.
It has.
I mean, matter of fact, I think Gabelli's a blowhard, to tell you the truth, but that's beside the point.
Well, I don't think he's as involved with it now as he used to be.
He may not be,
Some of the other people, So.
I mean, they always bring him on. He's like a financial...
Well, his claim to fame was media stocks.
A long time.
In the 90s,
he had a claim to fame. He was a value investor.
Right.
He actually got involved in a lot of these companies invest in, But I think his heyday is over.
It appears that way. But it does pay a steady.
Yeah, it pays a nice. Yeah, yeah. It depends. What your objectives are.
He was an activist.
And what you're comfortable with. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Just give you that information.
I appreciate that very much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, okay.
Bye. Have a great weekend.
Okay. Right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call. Very easy to get in. That's a big hint. And rather than wait until the end of the show, we always have a couple people call right near last 5 minutes of the show.
Well, they probably something moves them.
That could be. Like move me this morning, but we won't discuss that, right? But anyway, right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And I wouldn't even give you the other phone numbers right now because you shouldn't have any trouble getting in right now. So
yeah, we saw quite a spike in short-term interest rates, at least based on the 10-year, too. Went to 240 from 230.
Yeah, supposedly some people were blaming this supposed flattening, and I guess there has been a flattening in the yield curve, why the bank stocks were hit.
Right.
Barron's had an interesting article this weekend, the pros and cons, but they're bullish on the banks. They think it's going to be a buying opportunity. I've always said something, you got to watch the spread. They said it's not always true, that sometimes the banks do perform or outperform well, even when there's a flattening yield curve.
Right.
But,
I'm just nervous about this tax proposal.
Yeah, it's kind of a mess, to say the least, But surprisingly, once again, a good comment in Barron's. They said last week's action made the bulls upset and made the bears upset. The bulls were upset because the market didn't make new highs, right? The bears were upset because they figured with all this news, the market would have crashed, would have collapsed, and that didn't happen, So
I just worry, and I'm a worrier, but I worry about this Bitcoin.
That's good too. That was in Barron's. Go ahead.
Yeah, that if all of a sudden that collapses, usually market pullbacks, corrections, there's something that happens. Not always related just to the market, but things outside the market sometimes.
Well, this the founder I don't know if he's involved with Interactive Brokers, but he had an article in Barron's, or they had an interview with him, whatever, in this weekend's Barron's. And I mean, I've said too, I think Bitcoin could be, it brings everything down, yeah, and could be the final bubble. I didn't realize that Bitcoin this year went from 780 to 7,400. Right?
Oh no, it's huge. Yeah,
yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, and usually, you know, when a bubble bursts someplace, it has repercussions.
Right.
And he's mentioning that, unfortunately, or fortunately, how some speculators might like it, the futures exchanges are going to now bring out derivative products for trading in the Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
And he says that could be the beginning of the end, because it could bring, he says, the smaller firms, you know, like to attract business, but they're undercapitalized. And they're cheaper to go to, right, you know, for the futures trader.
Right.
And they could all go under. And they could just have a domino effect.
Now, you know? I have to disclose, you and I have talked about this, I don't understand it.
Well, neither do I.
I just don't have
it. But Jamie Dimon's mentioned, other people say, you know, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, he walked that back a little, you know, some of the people I've heard explain it, mm-hmm, I just don't understand it. And I just don't get it.
They rationalize it, I think.
I don't know what they do. I don't understand what the hell they're saying.
But it could be a big problem. And when the futures contracts come out, he's asking for limits to the exposure, mm-hmm, you know, like some kind of regulation, which they didn't do on the housing derivatives.
Right.
Yeah. So it remains to be seen. It's something to keep an eye on, you know. And, you know, it could be very worrisome, no question about it. Right now, we're going to go to Victor in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, Victor.
Yes. Peter, you pride yourself in your technical analysis abilities. I have a question for you. I want to pick your brain here a little bit. Just XYZ stock, solid base for 3 to 4 months, a breakout from a nice base, a gap breakout. It runs 3-4 days on good volume, finishes at the high of the day, most of the days. And then what you'll see a lot is you'll see it come back on aggressive volume for 2-4 days backwards. If someone was interested in going long on that particular stop, would you wait for the gap to be, hit the gap on the way back? I mean, what's your individual way in which to play a chart pattern, which is a common chart pattern we see all the day? 3-4 day run, you know, runs 10%, but then it has it draws back 5% on 3-4 days aggressive volume. How do you play that?
Well, what are you saying? It actually breaks the low of the gap day?
No, it doesn't get to the gap. It's not yet to the gap.
Okay.
Do you wait till it gets? That's my question.
I've seen different opinions on that. Okay, you know, people have different strategies. People who wrote the book, it's like Trade Like, the guy from Investor's Business Daily. What the heck's his name?
William O'Neill.
Right. William O'Neill, right.
There's a book, Trade By That, and these guys are pretty good. They've put out a couple of books, and one of their gap methods is they will buy, okay, on the pullback or somewhere in that area, but If it drops back below the gap, they're out. They don't even wait for a gap fill. They figured it's done, you know.
Oh, they'll buy where it's retracing backwards then.
Yeah, they'll buy, you know, in that area, all right, you know, of the gap. You know, if a gap was way too far, that's one thing. But if it wasn't gigantic, you know, they might buy immediately. But they're going to sell if it breaks the low of the gap, you know.
Okay, so what you're saying is they missed, let's go with the premise that they missed the initial breakout.
Right. Then you have to decide if you buy it and your stop's going to be below the lower the gap, are you willing to take that risk?
The lower the gap, where it gapped from, you mean?
No, the low of the day of the gap, right?
Okay, the low of the day of the gap.
Right.
So if it gaps from 36 to 38 and runs that day to 39.25, they will buy it then and then wait until it hits the 30. They're out at the 38?
Below 38. So you can give it a little bit of room, okay? tiny bit of room, right? But you use that. You don't technically, if there were a valid reason after a big base like that and it breaks out, it shouldn't really come back below that gap, right? Take a look at Facebook back when it gapped way back around the 30 area. All right, it never came back below the low of that day.
Okay, I'm not saying the low of the day. I'm saying where it gaps from, though. If a gap,
the low of the day of the gap.
Okay, that's what you're going by.
Right. I'm not going back to the day where it came from, right?
I got you.
Because technically, if you fill the gap, right, something's not right, right?
Right, but sometimes it goes halfway, the gap day, sometimes it goes halfway through, it's in the gap, though.
Yeah, it can do that. I mean, it's up to you, okay?
Well, I'm asking you the question for your opinion. I know it's up to me.
Yeah. In general, if I were to buy, I wouldn't want to see it. I'd give it maybe a little room below the low of the gap day, but not much, you know?
Okay. No. I appreciate your opinion.
Yep.
Thank you.
I mean, nothing works all the time. Don't forget it.
Right. Hey, we all know that, right?
Okay.
Right. Have a nice day.
You too. Take care.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
Okay. Right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call. 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And I won't waste my breath with all the other numbers, you know. And I could digress to events. You know, many years ago, I used to work at Westinghouse, if anybody remembers that place, many, many, many years ago.
Genesee Street?
Yeah. I was an engineer then in a management position
there
for years.
That's where the current airport is.
Right.
Go ahead.
And there used to be, there still is, really. It was a Denny's across the street,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had a bunch of my friends, you know, who could go out for lunch, all right? We'd go out for lunch at least once a week, and we look forward so much to the Grand Slam breakfast.
Oh, there you go.
At lunch, right? So today I had a coupon. You know, it wasn't a veteran's coupon, or free, because the veterans could eat free in most places today. But I had a coupon for a free Grand Slam breakfast. And I said, geez, I haven't had one in decades, right? What a disappointment.
It didn't taste as good? Or?
It was horrible.
You know why?
Why?
It was too healthy.
No, it wasn't healthy. No? I mean, not that it was healthy, but...
No, they changed the cooking fats and everything. That's what I'm saying. The taste isn't there, either that or our
taste buds. I don't know what it
is.
It wasn't the same.
Okay.
And then the hash browns were horrific. I don't know how they could call them hash browns, all right? They didn't look like anything I remembered as hash browns.
Were they just warmed up, maybe?
Yeah. Well, that was the other problem. The breakfast, believe it or not, except for the pancakes, was cold.
Oh, you got to send it back.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse. Yeah, I got to have my food hot.
Oh, exactly. I would rather buy the ultimate breakfast for $3-something at Burger King than the Grand Slam.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Oh, boy. There's an unsolicited non-testimonial.
Yeah, right. That's my negative opinion of the Denny's Grand Slam. But anyway.
We used to go to your host, speaking of old restaurants, and I forget, the Wow. They used to call it a Wow. That's when I used to eat meat, mm-hmm. But I think it was like eggs. Big hamburger, French fries, coleslaw, rolls. It was wow. The good old days.
Yeah. But anyway, back to financial matters. If you want to give us a call, 803-1520. Toll free.
I'm getting hungry now.
7541. And you know, last week, despite all the things to worry about, the markets were down a little. You know, so the S&P was down what 0.4% for the week, big deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
S&P down 0.2%, another big deal, right?
Right.
Matter of fact, I heard somebody they're very nervous. You know, a person at work whose name I won't mention. You know, was thinking of buying because the markets were down. I said, the markets are down.
No, well, if you listen to what the media is saying, I'm not talking fake news, but they're saying another new high,
right.
It was by like 6 points.
Yeah, I know.
And a dollar 23,000.
Well, I agree there, but I get the other side. The market's down, 0.2%. Anyway.
You want to see down.
we're going to go to Richard in Rochester. Good morning.
Hey, Peter. Hey, David.
Hey,
how you doing?
Richard. How are you?
How are you?
Good, thanks. Good. You mentioned the Wow Burger.
Yeah, from your host, baby.
I knew that would elicit a call.
Well, I'm going to date myself here because I'm really old. When I went to Buff State in 1970,
mm-hmm.
and we had a few bucks, we would sneak out and get. They had onion rings and hamburger like you never had in your life.
Right. your house. I used to go at like 3-4 in the morning after being out in conferences all night. No, being out in the...
I was in those conferences,
on
Elmo. Too.
Yeah, I know. It was great. We used to have a lot of fun in that restaurant. I met right on Delaware Avenue in the Great Arrow Plaza. It was...
Is the restaurant still there?
Oh, no, it's been long gone, many years.
Yeah.
Oh, God. You brought back some great memories.
Yeah, about that. See that? We did something today.
Anyway. Well, you did. You always do something.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, the one caller called about Gabelli?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not just putting a slam on Gabelli, but I thought I had a, I bought a GABUX Gabelli fund, and I thought it was the best thing in the world because it was had a high yield.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it was return of capital.
Oh, yeah.
I never learned about. I'm getting my own money back.
Mm-hmm.
And I still to this day don't know if it's better not to pay taxes on dividends or increasing actually lowering your cost basis. I think that's what it does.
Yeah. The GABUX, that's a utility fund, I believe, now.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right. You're a smart guy.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I mean, some people don't care that they get return in capital. Other people tell you that's ridiculous, you know. Right. So it's hard to say. Different opinions on that.
My opinion is I prefer a stock to pay me a dividend because it's making money and it's doing good.
Well, you feel better about that. That's
I do.
Sure.
I do. So that's just something I think the investors out there should be aware of.
Oh, yeah. There's a number of instruments like that. That return your capital. You know,
right.
The return of your capital.
Some do, combined.
A little bit of each. Yeah, a little bit of each, yeah.
Especially in the funds, yeah.
Peter, I also heard you give me a caller last week or a week before mentioned my name, which just tickles me pink.
Right.
But AAOI,
it was positive, too.
A while ago.
Wasn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, it was unbelievable. And I want to say I'm not so smart. Because you said, Richard, at least you went the point and figure chart and you chose something that was near the 200-day moving average.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a company can come out with, when they pre-announce, and if they miss earnings, hold on to your lug nuts, boy. It's a
no question.
I mean, time for an overhaul,
No question. You know, some people, you're in a longer-term time frame. You know, people who are, quote, swing traders for days, weeks, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They will never buy just before earnings, or they will sell when before earnings.
Oh yeah,
just in case. You know.
Yeah, it's earnings is a tough one.
Yeah, it is
really
a tough call.
Look at Facebook. They had great earnings, but then they put a caveat on there that they're going to spend more money to try to safeguard Russian hackers and stuff, and it just destroyed it. But
oh yeah,
well that's because people thought that was a ploy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what happens, you know. They can beat with earnings, but it depends what they say, you know, on top of that.
Yeah.
And
well,
then depending if the market's a little nervous, now they're really focused on the revenue, you know.
Yeah. Watch Monday with GE. I think GE on Monday announces what they're going to do with the dividend.
With the dividend,
they got to cut the dividend.
David, you're right, David. Monday is the day.
That's the thing with earnings. You never know. You know, even with good earnings, a stock can go down, you know.
Yeah.
Then I take a look at a company like Disney last week, and they hit it after market, you know, when they came out. Right. Now the stock's up like... 3-4 points higher, you know, so.
That's
sure.
Amazing.
Which brings me to my AT&T, which was yielding almost 6% a week ago. And now it's somewhere around 5.8 or 5.9. I hope they don't cut that dividend.
Well, I mean, I remember a while back, people were saying that they would have to cut the dividend. Who knows, you know, whether they would or not. But If you want to feel a little better, you know, you can read Barron's this weekend, you know, which covers the what happened to the telecom area in general, the best bets, and when they get all the way down to the bottom, they pick AT&T as the best choice. You know,
The problem with AT&T's biggest problem is AT&T. I mean, themselves, their atmosphere and everything else. It's another GE. I just
too parochial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I only tell you that, and not that I necessarily agree with them, you know, in terms of telephone, but, you know, they make the case that telephone is the better bet, especially between them and Verizon, according to them.
Yeah.
Especially if the Time Warner deal goes through, you know.
I was listening to the CEO talk because of all that mess with Time Warner and CNN, and I don't know what to believe or who to believe anymore.
Yeah, I'm surprised he's not an attorney.
He
said he wasn't an attorney. I was listening. Usually most of those high-end executives are attorneys. I mean,
are they?
Law, but yeah. Yeah. I was shocked with that.
Yeah, because bottom line is, I mean, you know, this area around 32 is very critical support, you know, for AT&T, so.
It's a great place to, I don't know, if it's not going to go anywhere, it's a great place to get a 5.8 yield.
I guess I'm looking at that, but everybody said that thing about GE all the way
well,
down.
Well, I know,
right?
But I feel a little better about AT&T.
Right.
I can see it. Point and figure chart, I know every time it gets near 40, you may want to think about running, and every time it gets down to this level, you may want to be backing up the truck. So
yeah, it's hard to say. I mean,
who knows?
I mean, there's a lot of revolution going on in this business, you know, and, you know, they're all, you know, telephone, and all of them are diversifying. You know, telephone owns, what, Direct TV?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. I believe so.
And, you know,
they're looking for content, too.
Yeah, they're all jockeying for position in what's become a very competitive area. You know,
there's so much on cable television, so many choices. It's and then you add in Hulu and Netflix and Roku and all these other, you know, I don't.
Gets confusing.
Yeah, and apparently they were hoping this T-Mobile Sprint thing would go through because that would lessen the competitive battle. You know,
right.
Now you have two separate companies fighting it out still. So it's a very difficult area to say.
I was at
least,
a client's house a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They have rabbit ears.
Do they really?
They do not have cable.
Wow.
Shocking. They don't watch a lot of TV. Yeah.
Well, you know, to me, well, not to go on to me, but the thing with cable is, why do you need 500 channels? I mean, why do I want to pay for 500 channels? You know,
yeah.
It's nuts. But anyway,
for sure. I'm not going to hog the line, but
well,
Square.
You're the only person here. Square, I don't even want to hear about it.
Oh, it's been good, though. And
That's why he doesn't want to hear about it.
That's why I don't want to hear about it.
I see.
I gave up on it a long time ago, and then all of a sudden. You know,
as soon as Pete got out, it ran.
Especially since this is the guy who you know, owns Twitter, right?
He's a
Jay-Oy's
chairman.
Right.
Yeah. I go out to California last April to see my new grandson. My son says, Square's coming out with earnings tomorrow. I said, what's a Square?
What's a Square?
Everywhere you go in here, you're going to see people using Square to swipe in credit cards and processing.
Yeah, all the small businesses, you know, and now, for better or worse, they're going to try to pick up bigger now, you know. You know, but that's what their claim to fame right now is. They've really
you go to somebody in the mall with a kiosk, right. They swipe your card using that
little restaurant.
Yeah, I never knew what it was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the stock's been unbelievable. What's it?
It's
tripled in the
fire.
Last year or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Close.
Yeah.
It was like just below 15 at the beginning of the year, and it's 39.21.
Right. Yeah.
Does that mean it's too late to get in? Or?
Never too late. Jump in.
I think you're right.
I haven't bought any yet. But
I sit there watching NVIDIA and Lam Research, and I've been watching it for a year like a dummy. So
people have been calling me about Amazon. I just don't like it. It's too expensive. That was when it was probably $700. And they keep calling me about Tesla. And Tesla is a different story. I just can't buy that stock. I just can't buy it.
I have a hard time, too. I can't even think about it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's interesting. I mean, you just pick your risk point, you know. You know, in other words, you know, if you buy Square, where's your out point? You know, how much risk am I willing to take? You know, that's it. You know,
you said that to me 20 years ago, and it's still proven to be. It's the hardest thing to do is know when you want to get out.
Only when it's up, Richard. When they're down, it's easy to sell them. It's when they're up.
Yeah, I know. You panic.
Well, see, the problem, you know, like the problem when you ride something down and you didn't pick an out point, you know, and it depends on your different time frames, you know, so you can't say for everybody, you know, but when you ride something down, the odds are that you're going to sell the bottom eventually. But that's the thing that keeps you from selling it all the way down, see? But so it's much better to make the decision when you first buy the stock, you know, and say, I'm going to buy this stock. And if it goes below this point, I'm out. And if all of a sudden it looks better and it's acting better, I might get back in. You're not over, you know. Mm-hmm. You don't have to say, I forget about that stock for the rest of my life, you know.
Right. Well, I'll probably be stopping in after the first of the year to discuss possibly having a managed account with you guys, okay?
Well, right. Great to hear that. We look forward to it.
And I'll be bringing some wine. So.
All right.
Well, that's even better.
Wine, your checkbook, and the safe.
Right.
All right. I don't have the – I could do all that.
There you go.
Very good.
Or in your case, a shoebox, whatever you want.
Well, thank you, guys.
Okay. All right. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Thanks, buddy.
Okay, right now, phone lines are wide open. 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. So while we're waiting for calls, we'll take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB, and an RIA, which does mean we are registered investment advisors. We do manage money. And once again, I encourage you to go to the website, find out about our services at saperstein.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541.
Speaking of nostalgia, yesterday, on November 10th, 1969, guess what television show came, and guess what television show made its debut?
Boy, okay, what show?
Sesame Street.
Okay. We thank you for that fact. Yeah. I could do a lot more nostalgia, but right now we'd like some calls on financial matters, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. And you see why the high-yield market got hit? One of the reasons?
What was
last
it?
Last week? It's in the tax bill. They want to limit the tax deductibility of interest.
Oh, okay, right.
So
right.
If you're a high company putting out junk bonds, you got a lot of interest that you've been deducting, that kind of hurt the high yield market, to say the least. So, and it would put a little pressure on some of these, highly leveraged companies, when it comes down to it. Something you don't think about. Who would realize?
It's going to be interesting to see. My fears are that it's not going to be. Obviously, it's not going to be what they say it is, and they're already adjusting the different things. I just have always had a problem, not a personal problem, but just problem seeing it passing when you've got New York, California, New Jersey, some of the other highly taxed states that the people are not going to be able to deduct either part or some of their taxes that they pay in the state. That's an interesting problem.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be interesting how they finally, I just hope they finally come out with something, when it's all said and done, because if they don't get a tax reform bill, we're done, it's all over,
Doesn't look good.
Yep.
And the Republicans,
I don't mean necessarily for the market. We're just done in terms of political situations and everything, a lot of other things which we won't get political about. Right now, we're going to go to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah.
Good morning.
Don't talk about politics. It's depressing.
Very depressing.
David, you briefly mentioned Roku. Have you seen the action on it this week?
Unbelievable. What did it go up?
It's gone up, I think all week it's gone up 60 or 70%.
Yeah, no, it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was an IPO that died. Now this week it just came back like anything,
And it's not making money.
No.
But there's a lot of people that are signing up for Roku because of what you talked about earlier about AT&T and Verizon. People don't want to pay for 500 channels.
And I don't blame them. It's ridiculous, besides.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of choices out there. What is it, Fire Stick? That's another one. I know one of my sons has it, and I, you know, you can plug it into the television and he gets all kinds of programming.
They go on and on. So
Hulu. Hulu's out there.
Yeah. They're all out there, you know, so it's a different world. And also, you got to remember with companies, you know, having read in a book about stocks that, you know, are the stocks that go from 8 to 80, 10 mm-hmm. times and so forth, they don't have to have earnings. It's the expectations.
Of course.
It was
the same thing with Amazon. You know, Amazon wasn't making money because they kept plowing all the money back into the business, you know, and spending more and more on the business. And people bought into that he was going to eventually develop earnings and come up with things. So that's what really matters, you know. So,
yeah, I'm trying to buy Amazon when it goes down a few shares at a time.
Yep. Yeah, it had a nice opportunity. Remember when it dropped to 930-something? It was a nice opportunity,
Why did ask you about one other stock that's gone crazy. It's called Green Dot.
Oh, my God. I got a headache with that one.
that's a quadruple this year.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing. And
what's the symbol?
Is it banking in the cloud or something?
No.
Or
well,
financial services?
Most of the business is prepaid telephone cards.
Is that what it is, really?
Yeah, cloud, but a lot of their business is prepaid telephone cards. And it's just hard to believe that, that could grow that fast, that quickly. But it was 16 at the end of the year, or the beginning of the year, and now it's 60-something.
Well, you know, it's interesting. In 2011, it was $64 a share, all right? In 2012, it was $8.95. And then since 2012 to 2016, it went no place, right? Just sideways. Mm-hmm. And then in early 2016, went up a little, built another little base for a good part of 16, then broke out and has been on a tear since then.
So that's Green Dot, G-D-O-T,
right. Yeah.
G-D-O-T.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's hard
to keep up with it because when it looks like it's a buy, it goes up $6 or $8 a day.
Oh, yeah. It's just that, you know, there's stocks. I don't know if you're taking a look at Overstock lately.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another one. I think supposedly it's somewhat of a Bitcoin play or something like that. I don't know. But anyway. But, you know, on charting basis, as you get these stocks, and if you look at weekly, monthly charts, and I'm looking at a monthly chart, see these nice bases, breakout, another base, breakout. That's the time to be in these things, you know.
Yeah, it's amazing. I want to ask you about two other stocks that are more reasonable progression. KAR.
KAR. Okay. Take a look. What does it say? An auction business? It's an auction business?
Yeah, they do car auctions all over the world, and I've been reading about it. They have a great business. They have $6.5 billion in sales, and they pay almost a 3% dividend. And it looks pretty solid.
Yeah, that's interesting. Let me call up, go back to the point and figure chart on that real quick. Okay.
Gabelli downgraded it a couple of days ago.
Gabelli did, huh? My favorite person, you mean?
Yeah. That means it's a buy.
Yeah, I think so.
I wonder why. I'll take a look at that.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a beautiful chart. You know, I mean, it gave like two false sell signals all the way up from 2011, you know, just amazing. And it turned out to go right around. Side broke out, went sideways, just broke out again. And, you know, looks like it should have good support somewhere in the 45 area, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, the price objective on it right now is 66, you know, for what it's worth.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Good. So, anywhere around here or slightly lower would be good to get in.
Yeah, let me take a look. Like I say, it depends on whether you want to see, well, will it pull back toward 55? Or for, what did I say? 45. 45, right? Forgot what I've... I don't even listen to myself. That's all right. But, yeah, I mean, the 50-day, which held the last time, is at 47, all right? The 200-day is at 44. So you can use those numbers to play with, you know.
Okay.
You know, so, you know, 47, it might hold again. It might hold that 50-day. But, you know, somewhere between, you know, 45 and 47, if you want to wait for a pullback or you want to buy half and then buy the rest on a pullback, you'd have to decide, you know.
Well, from a risk reward, to go in now.
Yeah, assuming, yeah, if you take that, you know, objective for what it's worth. But if I did a, you know, what they call like a measured move on this, and the stock went from, say, 39, the short-term objective would be 57, you know.
Okay, so, yep. Great.
Yep.
One more I want to ask about, Winnebago.
Oh, no, another one. The only reason I keep saying no, I follow this guy's service. He's a technical analyst, you know, and he buys these kind of stocks that break out and have been running, and he's been touting Winnebago, not touting, but he covers it, you know, every week, and I keep looking at it and doing nothing. But anyway, do you own it or are you looking to buy it?
I own some. I read an article about the fact that a lot of mobile homes were. Or trailers were destroyed
in the hurricanes.
Yeah. And of course, boomers are now buying these $200,000-$300,000 motor homes. It's something that's kind of been progressing over a while. So
The point and figure chart's got an objective of 62. If I remember right, the last time he went over this, he does like a weekly report. I subscribe to his service. He had a target of around 60 on it.
Yeah, close at 48, 45.
Yeah.
And what's the service that you're looking at?
It's Harry Boxer. You can actually get a free trial to it for nothing, you know.
I'll have to look at it.
Yeah, look up Harry Boxer. It's thetechtrader.com is the website, you know.
Okay, great.
And what he does is he's got a smaller service, which I subscribe to, okay? And what it does is he gives a nightly breakdown of 10 or 12 stocks he likes, all right, that broke out. And then on the weekend, he goes over 100 stocks, and it costs like $49 a month, okay?
Oh, techtrader.com?
Thetechtrader.com, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Great. Thanks a lot for your help.
Okay. Thank you very much for calling. Okay. Phone numbers to call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Dan in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you this morning?
Okay.
Good, Dan. How you doing?
Good. I'm good, guys. Just wanted to ask, you guys were mentioning Facebook earlier,
mm-hmm.
and I still have some Facebook, but I just want to get your opinion because I'm wondering if it's starting to get a top here. Just want to get your thoughts on it.
I don't know. People would like to see it top out.
Yeah, I don't think it's, you know, from a not a technical or just a fundamental or gut. I mean,
it still looks good to me. I mean, I don't see any reason to sell it.
Okay. You know?
I mean, in the worst case, I don't know how long have you owned it? A long time or what?
Well, probably about a year.
About a year. I mean, if you look at it, the 200 day is at 155.
Correct. Okay?
And you got your 50 day, which it's broken twice recently, okay, by a little. You know, and that's sitting where? About the 173 area.
Okay.
Know? And, I mean, you could even draw a trend line on the chart. It probably comes in somewhere around 170, somewhere
okay.
in there, you know. So, you know, I'd only say, hey, you know, if it broke the 50 and didn't recover immediately, mm-hmm. I might start thinking about
right.
it, you know. But both times it's broken the 50, it came right back.
It's come right back, yeah.
Yep, yeah.
And it closed at 178.46.
What's that?
It looks like it's held around the 100-day.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so
maybe I'll use 100-day.
Yeah, you can use one of them. You know, you want to, you know, like when you talk about moving averages, we always said that before. There's no magic other than the fact other people use them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if tons of people are following the 200-day, it may work, okay, because
right.
other people are following. But the other thing is you want one that's been working, you know.
Correct.
Well, you look at that 50-day. I mean, it's held perfectly, 1, 2, 3, 4, except for one-day minor penetrations, you know.
Yeah.
It's held 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 touches so far, you mm-hmm. know. So.
And I could see, like, because I'm looking at it here, and I've got it. I'm looking at it, and I've got it. I've got both the 100-day and the 50-day, and I'm looking at it. And just like you said, Peter, I mean, it's done a big drop, but it's always seemed to that big bottom seems to be right at the 100-day, and then it quickly recovers back up.
Yep, exactly. You know, and there are people who use that. You know, they use the 50 and the 100. Uh-huh. You know, matter of fact, people with a buy system. One technical guy I know looks for an opportunity if it drops between the 50 and the 100, and then he can use the 100 as a stop. You know, somewhere under the 100. Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you use a 50-day, I mean, it's too, you know.
You're running a risk.
It's all these day trader guys that are looking at the 50, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So that's why I kind of look at the 100, because I'm thinking of the 100 maybe more longer term.
Longer term.
Right, if you're more comfortable with that.
Yeah, and the 200s, much longer term people. Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, yep.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see it go back to the 200.
No.
I'd like to buy it at the 200. Maybe.
Well, that's true, but... You would like to have been out and then back in at the 200.
Yeah, right. Jeez, forget about that. Right? I know you guys have talked about Micron quite a bit.
I'll tell you, I've seen one service, and I forgot which one. I get so many services, I drive myself nuts. But anyway, they're saying this thing's a buy. You know, they're saying this thing's worth $76
wow.
a share. They said people don't realize what this company's involved in, and so forth and so on. You know, so and like I say, you know, you're talking about something in the strongest sector in the market,
right.
You know,
uh-huh.
the semiconductor area. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking at this one, and you know, it peaked around 2015, around was about 35, crashed, and it's you know it's broken out beyond the 35, right? So if it's come out of the 35, you got to think, you know. There's a lot of long-term guys in it.
Oh, no question about that. And, you know, it hasn't even come back to the 50. Matter of fact, most of the time it's been holding the 20, which is, you know, that's a really powerful momentum stock.
Right. Well, I mean, it's come close to the 50, but as soon as it's even approached it, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, it just blew right out of there.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, you guys still think it's still early in this one?
Well, what I like is, I mean, if you look at a daily chart, you know, it had a nice run from August to October.
When I mean, the great time would have been to get it when it broke out of the 32-33 area.
Oh yeah. Hindsight's beautiful, but you know, true. But if you look now, it built this nice base for like somewhere beginning of October to most of October. Now it just broke out above
around the high 30s.
Yeah, and now it's building another base again.
Yeah,
that's what you want to see: base breakout.
I think I'd take a shot at this one.
Yep, I think it's worthwhile.
Another one is going into the oils. I don't know what you guys think of oil, but I'm looking at XOP.
Yeah, it looks like a good area to be in right now.
Really, you know, even though it's...
I mean, you've had a nice run in oil, but it looks like things have turned, you know.
Really?
This time it looks like things have turned.
Yeah, that's what people are saying. It's all going to be based on supply and demand. People are looking at the rig counts going down and... I don't know.
But the thing they're bringing out, they're saying, you know, there's a lot of discipline out there, believe it or not, with the higher prices. You know, they kind of learn their lessons. They're not going hog wild. You're not seeing tons of drilling rigs being put out there right now.
Right, but you're relying upon the Middle East to conform to the OPEC reduction in production. Those people never do that.
Yeah.
I know. No, I'm just saying.
We shall see.
Uh-huh. Yeah, of course.
Besides, you know, Saudi Arabia may start a war in the Middle East pretty soon.
Right.
So
right.
We shall see.
Yeah. So XOP, I mean,
But you know, I like that thing again, too. You notice, I mean, you know, it's moved up. Now it's spacing. You know, it's building a nice little base again, you know. And, you know, let me go to another thing real quick before we run out of time. But let me look at a point and figure chart real quick. It looks real nice on the bar chart. Because I always think, you know, whether you use point and figure, you always should use a bar chart, you know, too, you know, really. So let's see, XOP, yeah, nice breakout on it. Broke a long downtrend all year long. Next target would probably be around 38.5, 39.
Okay.
And, boy, if it broke above that, and believe it or not, the price target on it's 46, you know. So,
Well, it looks like right around where it peaked end of last year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What do you guys, I'm sure you follow NVIDIA. But
oh, yeah.
That thing is unstoppable. I don't know.
Well, you know, people were making a big deal that, you know, the stock didn't budge much, you know, with the recent gigantic earnings jump, you know. But, you know, let's face it, you know, they're where they should be. I mean, they're a leader in the areas they're in, you know.
And, well, you know, again, I mean, it formed a nice base a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's come out of it again, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it just keeps doing that. And right now, you know, ideally, if the last breakout was good, support should probably be, you know, 198, somewhere around there, 198 to 200, you know.
Okay. Yeah. It's a reasonable...
Yeah.
Reasonable shot. I mean, geez.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
One last one?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fast.
What the heck's going on with Walmart?
Oh, great article in Barron's this weekend.
Yeah?
Yeah, they're talking about all the things they're doing. You know,
no kidding.
Oh, yeah. You got to read it. You get a chance, read it. I mean, you know, I forgot because they started Walmart Pay. It's only good in Walmart stores.
Right.
Okay.
But they're saying that it's working very well for them. This and that.
Sure.
So these guys are doing everything, you know.
No, they're not getting left behind.
And they're at the all-time high right now. And next target's on the point and figure charts, 109, you know. So.
Well, I mean, it had the 2015, it peaked around 82, 83,
yep.
And it's just come out of it.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something to be looking at.
Oh,
yep.
My goodness.
Yep.
Okay, guys, great.
Thanks
great
for
show.
Calling.
Always a pleasure talking
nice
to you.
Nice talking to you.
Pleasure. Have a good
okay,
weekend.
Have a good
great
weekend.
Weekend.
Okay, we're down to the end of the show. Things picked up, thankfully, you know, later in the show,
yeah.
As they always do.
Sure.
You can almost always depend upon that. And, you know, as we said, you know, markets are, you know, always give you something to worry about. And that's why this market's been running, as they say, climbing the wall of worry.
Right.
Someday, one of these things may be the straw that breaks the camel's back. Who knows?
Right.
We always say stay disciplined, you know.
Right.
You know, watch, don't worry about the market. Watch your individual positions. Watch what you're in your portfolios and see how they're acting. And if they're not acting well, you know, and if the market's making new highs, you know, whether it be little at a time and your stuff's going down, it gives you something to think about.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, why is that? You know, what's going on?
Well, you want to know what your options are, and you've got to be aware.
Yeah, you know, so don't, you know.
Because it's ever changing.
Yeah, it's changing. But, you know, look at your individual positions and stop worrying about what the ultimate crash that everybody keeps predicting, you know, and they'll predict it forever because once they've predicted it, you got to stick with it.
Right, then you got to wait for the next one.
Because then you're going to be right. So anyway, keep a little powder dry. Till next week, take care.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.